2019 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. Before we begin, we're going to have the swearing in of officers by the Honorable Penny Haas Friesman. Would you all please stand?
I didn't know I get to go first. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. And if everyone will please stand, that's going to be sworn in. I think I said this last time, but it's the kind of thing that's just true. And that is that the main and the best reason for having an oath, when you look at the length of this thing, is that it reminds everybody what kind of your obligations and things like that. And so I think it is very important. So if you all raise your right hand and repeat after me. You don't repeat after me. Do you solemnly swear that you hold no position of public trust or private interest which places you in a position of conflict of purpose with the charter of the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and that in accordance with the constitutions of the United States and the state of Georgia, the laws of this state, and all applicable local ordinances, you will faithfully discharge your duties as officers of said commission, deciding each matter which shall come before the commission on its merits alone, without fear or favor with regard to any affected parties or agencies. If so, please say, I do.
I do.
All right, you can be seated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go to work.
Allegiance. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together as commissioners to listen and rule fairly and justly on matters that come before us. We ask a special prayer for our leaders in Washington, our leaders at the state capitol here in Georgia. Please guide us and keep us. This we ask, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Thank you. There is a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Give the blue speaker card to a staff member at the front table so we can call your name at the appropriate time. There are agendas on the table outside near the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has a report presented by staff to the board providing information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his or her petition to the commission. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. The total time for public comment will be the equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it's important that speaker cards be provided to the chairman if you want to speak on the petition. Once the floor is open for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain, if you want to speak, still provide a card. You will have an opportunity to decline at the time when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have an opportunity for rebuttal and then additional questions as needed by the board. And finally, the board will take action. First item is approval of the agenda.
Second.
Properly moved by Mr. Coles and second by Mr. Cook. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor signify. Raise the right hand. All opposed, motion carries. Item four, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. October 8th, 2019, we have had our swearing in. The October 29th, 2019 regular MPC meeting will be held here at the County Commission Chambers at 124 Bull Street. We have development plans that have been submitted for review. There are no items removed from the agenda and no items to be withdrawn. We have a consent agenda consisting of two items. The first is the approval of the September 17, 2019 briefing and regular minute meetings. And item number six, is there anyone here for item number six, new construction carriage house? There being no one here to speak on that, the chair will entertain a motion on the consent agenda for items five and six. It's been properly with Mr. Coles and second by Ms. Milton. Any discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor of the consent agenda? Raised by? All opposed? Motion carries. There being no old business, we go into our regular business. The MPC Human Resources Manual. Ms. Everett, would you like to address that briefly?
Yes, sir. At the behest of the HR committee, we revised the human resources or personnel regulations governing the MPC employees. This matter was brought to the Human Resources Committee twice, and their comments were incorporated. Information that they requested be changed was changed. It was also vetted with the City of Savannah and Chatham County's HR directors, and then sent to this board. I did speak with Ms. Garrett last night regarding some of her comments, and basically it was to revise some of the appendices, which we will do. And she also asked me to add a copy of the evaluation form that we've been using. And I explained to her we're in the process of kind of changing it, but I will give anybody who wants a copy of what we're currently using, I'll give that to you if any of the board members would like that. I also spoke to Mr. Noah in the pre-briefing, and he had some comments, which I will take into consideration.
Any questions of Ms. Everett? Ms. Milton, followed by Mr. Noah.
Was it not that the chairman made changes to the evaluation form that we were using recently?
Not that I'm aware.
No, you're in reference to the one used to evaluate the executive director.
That was only the
employees.
Executive director, correct, not the employees.
Anything further, Ms. Milton?
No.
Mr. Noah?
Has everyone had time to read that? I don't need you to answer that, but have we had time to truly review these? I don't feel like I have, but if I'm the only one, the ones that I've gone through, I just think that they need to be vetted completely so that when they go in place, we're not having to do this for quite some time. And I would like to ask if we hold off to the next meeting.
Ms. Milton.
There was a personnel committee that went through all of this. So as far as I'm concerned, I think we've done all the hitting we can do. But if anybody else want to, you know, I mean, the personnel committee made the recommendations to the board, and those recommendations were kind of final. But if, you know, I'm just one. But the,
is one meeting going to make a difference?
I think that the time, we have done time and time and time. And, you know, the vacation thing that we were trying to talk about the last meeting.
Right, it's still not in. That's my concern.
Ms. Everett?
The definition of the time that is allowed to carry time over into the next year that I asked about specifically, it started at a week, it was 2 weeks, and then it was a month, and then the final was the first quarter, and then I was told today that it could be 2 years out.
No. What I told you is that we have allowed someone to use their time to schedule it because she had over the number of hours at the...
That's what I'm saying. It's not defined. That's my only concern is that we vet it thoroughly. And I would make a motion that we postpone it one more meeting. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
We're not at the motion phase yet, but continue.
I mean, it's very clear in terms of it says any annual leave scheduled after the date will be forfeit if not used by the final day of the leave year. I mean, that's the language that was in there.
Correct. And at the last meeting, was it not discussed that because I made the comment that anybody would
the 31st, the last month of the year is, or the last day of the year is December 31st. I think that the conversation or the policy that you're referencing is what we're dealing with now, because the personnel manager hadn't been updated in over 18 years. I'm going to reiterate the fact that what we've done is at least bring it current and have followed what the guidance was of the personnel committee and the Finance Committee. They both have spoke about this for months. It's been one of those things that we've been dealing with for, gosh, almost a year. In addition, one of the challenges is that people have been allowed to carry a lot more than technically was allowed, and I think that's what Ms. Everett was making reference to if there was any discussion about something carried out for 2 years. You know, we are here to do the wishes of the board, but at this point in time, you know, we have done what we can do based on feedback that we've gotten from both bodies, the personnel and the finance, and from you as a board from the last meeting.
Ms. Jarrett.
This is a living document, isn't
yes.
it? Next meeting, if we have changes that need to be made, they could be made then.
That's correct. It will not be another 18 or 19 years that this document is touched. Trust me, it won't be. I've never had, candidly speaking, I've never been in a situation where I walked in and have a document this outdated. So it is a living document. It's something that I am hoping that we can do a review of at least annually to make sure that it is current, because the federal laws changed, a lot of stuff changes, so we do need to make sure that we're keeping up with those changes and that we're looking at what the trends are.
Anything further? Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to wait till the next meeting. Because what I've heard today,
in the green room, that's what we call it instead of a briefing room, the green room, there were changes that are going to be made. People had asked for changes. That's going to be considered. I just would like to see the final document.
I think there's been a motion from Ms. Parker. Did I hear that, Ms. Parker? No, okay. Is a motion to continue until when, Mr. Smith?
Next meeting, while we've been...
So 2 weeks, or whenever the next meeting is. Date certain. When is it?
October 29th.
29th. That way everybody's got it. We can clear stuff up. There's no misgivings, because it's fair to the staff. I just want to make sure, because it's not something you should be coming back. I agree it's a living document, but it's not something you really need to be coming back with a lot. You know, federal and state law, there's ways to put it in there generically where you say the federal law, you know, does this, or state law does that, and it's just easier. So, anyway.
Second that.
It's been properly moved and second. Any discussion? Ms. Milton?
What are you requesting to be changed or added?
I heard several changes.
Some things, and
so do they. Does all those? I'm not aware of any other requests other than what you just talked about the deadline for the vacation when the last date can be taken.
Well, the example was Ms. Jarrett, I think you called last night for some changes. So there are things that are going to have to be changed. I just would love to see this unanimous. It's fair to the employees, but let's, you know. Like Mr. Noah, I mean, a month, it's not going to be, you know, we've waited this long. The thing was horribly outdated. The counties is worse than that one was. We're still working on it, but, you know.
Can I at least add a suggestion? Two things. One, the item that Ms. Jarrett called about was in the appendix. So the policy document itself is what you technically are being asked to approve. She was looking at something that, again, it will change. The other thing is that in order to deal with making sure we deal with payouts, now we're dealing with pushing budgets. That's one of the reasons we're trying to get a deadline date, because we are on the city's budget cycle, which basically ends on the 31st of December. If you're going to push it back again, and that's within your right to make a recommendation to do so, then if this is going to consistently be an issue, it might be something to think about of having an effective date of January 1. So I'm just throwing that out as, you know, if there's that, because I have to have some way of dealing with the budget. I mean, there's a cost with dealing with employee payout. The further you push it to the end of the year, it starts impacting their W-2s. So I'm looking at from the standpoint of paying the employees out, it really can have impact on them. I just throw that out because if there's that concern, that might be, you still can recommend approval. I'm just kind of throwing out a possible implementation start date if we push it back, just so that they have an opportunity to make whatever adjustments that they need.
Ms. Jarrett?
And my concerns were to do with the appendices. There was one form that was a negative form, and I thought that they should include a positive form as well. You know, what happens if the executive director doesn't agree with the director type thing? And the other one was I thought they should include a performance review form in there. And I don't think that they have the performance review completely ironed out at this point in time.
Any further discussion? Yes, Mr. Smith.
I'm not worried about the budget piece. You can go ahead and work, you know, put those numbers together. A budget is a budget. They're estimates. And just get that together for the city. I don't see that as a big concern.
It wasn't so much a budget about us having the funds in. I've put aside the funds to deal with the payout. I'm making reference to this because the employees are going to be impacted if they get a payout. Because if, let's say, their payout happens now in November or December, it's the end of the year. So they've already, you know, put in their deductions and things of that nature for the tax year. It could throw some people over based on the category that they were in for income. Are you saying that wouldn't happen if you were at whatever the cutoff?
2 weeks is not going to make a difference.
No, but I'm just talking about the implementation and the start time. That's all. Whether it's 2 weeks or not, I'm just bringing it up as a possible issue. If you don't think that that's going to be a big deal, then that's okay too. I at least thought that I would bring it up because I've had some people ask me, you know, what does this do to my taxes? You know, they put in what they, if you were making, you know, $50,000 and you got a check for $10,000 and you did your taxes based on that, that could throw you into having to owe taxes if you didn't anticipate in getting that money versus, you know, if you did. To have enough time to make adjustments to your taxes. So if you don't think that that's an issue or whatever, that's fine, but I at least thought I would bring it up.
Any further discussion? Any unreadiness? All in favor of continuing this matter until the October 29th, 2019 meeting, signify. Okay, motion carries. Item number 8, zoning map amendment. Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Request to rezone 6 parcels, contiguous parcels, on the north side of Duran Avenue between Abercorn Street and Habersham Street here. This is from the RSF6, a NUZO, single-family detached residential zoning district, to the OI, which is office and institutional zoning classification. The 6 contiguous parcels indicated here are all but one between Abercorn and Habersham, north side of East Duran. They comprise approximately 1.4 acres. All are located within the RSF6 zoning district. By way of background, there was previously a request to rezone a single parcel here back under the old ordinance from R6, what was then the single family residential district, to BN. Which was then withdrawn, and the petitioner, Ms. Brown, was then able to acquire the signatures of these remaining property owners and come in for this request under NUZO. Very briefly, the intent and purpose of the RSF6 district is to establish and preserve and create areas of single-family detached development. A very limited number of non-residential uses are permitted, mainly limited to community-serving, institutional, uses such as churches and schools. By contrast, the office institutional district is established to allow office uses as well as a limited number of other uses that are compatible with an office environment. district is intended to be located in close proximity to non-residential districts, and particularly relevant to this case, explicitly notes that it may be used as a transition between such areas and residential districts. Includes community facilities, childcare, personal service shops, offices, and studio and galleries. And now at the appendix to the staff report at the end indicates a comparison between what's permitted under the RSF6 and then the proposed office and institutional district. So briefly, I should note as well within the maps that the future land use map here designates this area as transition, which is areas as having established residential character that due to their location adjacent to shallow frontage lots along arterial streets are confronted with potential commercial intrusion. So in this case, the proposed zoning district is consistent with the future land use map and the comprehensive plan. I may draw a little more attention to our rezoning criteria, given that this is the first case I'm aware of that is being heard under NUZO. So the first is the notion of suitability and community need, whether the range of uses permitted is more suitable under the proposed district is more suitable than the range that's permitted in the current zoning district. So the OI district does permit a range of commercial uses that are suitable for lots fronting major arterial roads, such as this, with an average daily traffic in excess of 40,000 vehicles. While it still, at the same time, limits uses that could have adverse effects on nearby residences. So the existing RSF6 district, by contrast, only permits single-family residences, which staff feels are not well-suited to such a high-traffic environment. Now, looking also at whether or not the proposed zoning district addresses specific need in the county or city, in this case, there is a clear need, we feel, for small-scale, affordable commercial spaces and comparatively few locations for these. So we feel it does address this. Petitioner, who you'll hear from, intends to open a small-scale florist shop, which I believe is consistent with the intention here. Also, compatibility, whether zoning will adversely affect the existing use or the usability of adjacent property. We feel that given that it's noted transition and that the OI explicitly limits the most, aggressive or highest uses, heaviest commercial uses that could have adverse impacts on the properties to the north, the established neighborhood along Brandywine here, we feel that that is not as much a concern with the OI district. Consistency and reasonable use, the notions there, whether I think consistency has been addressed with reasonable use, whether the use is, whether the property as zoned has an appropriate use currently. And we feel that there's already, you can see in the pictometry here, the immersion or the emergence of some commercial uses, whether legitimate or illegitimate, along this corridor, which we feel just speaks to the limited reasonable use that is still available here for single-family detached residential. I should note that these are the only parcels, maps here, the only parcels from the beginning of Duren on the west side here till the Truman that directly front Duren Avenue, where the others you see here have frontage on frontage roads or otherwise are somewhat buffered. Now, given all this, staff is recommending approval of this zoning district, given that we feel it meets the various criteria as outlined by NUZO, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions of Mr. Williams? There being, Mr. Cook?
I notice on the other side of Duren, there's a service road.
Yes, sir. Duren Drive.
Wouldn't it be a good idea to make a service road in front of all of these where you'd only have the one, you'd eliminate all the curb cuts and you still have access to all of the businesses?
I certainly don't disagree. That's but that would have to be handled at a future state for a site plan review. Certainly. No, yeah. And one of the potential advantages of this rezoning, as staff understands it, is that as currently zoned, there's really no potential for redevelopment of these properties in a way that would allow someone to eliminate the curb cuts as they currently exist and address those access issues. Whereas if it were rezoned for the range of commercial uses permitted under OI, there is that possibility that a developer could acquire all parcels and reconfigure the access to the property.
I'm just saying, though, there is a service road on the other side of the street, and there's also a service road east of there on the north side of Durin. So I just think it would be, good to put the service road here as well, but, you know, I'm just saying that. I know you can't do it now, but I'm just throwing that out for whoever.
Any further questions?
Any further questions, Mr. Williams? Is the petitioner present? Please step forward, state your name for the record.
Amira Brown.
Please speak up.
Good afternoon first, Amira Brown.
Any questions of Ms. Brown? Any questions of Ms. Brown? Anything you wish to add to the record, Ms. Brown?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have two speaker cards. First is a Gladys Walker. If you would, please step forward, state your name for the record. And ma'am, you have 2 minutes.
Walker, because she's going to follow up on what I said.
One at a time, please.
All right. I'm Libby Booker Everhard, and I own the one parcel that is not included in this petition. And I just wanted to ask if you all would postpone this until the next meeting so that my parcel can be included. I would have joined this, but there was a lot of questions that I couldn't get sufficiently answered about what would be the impact of the rezoning. As of now, what we fear, and Mrs. Walker is my tenant, and she's going to speak to you next, is that if we're taxed any more, that it's going to be a real hardship on us, and she will explain why. So all I wanted to do is ask if you would postpone it so that I could join the petition, because after she and I have talked and found out as much as we could, which nobody can really tell us definitively anything, we've decided that it would be best to join the petition, because otherwise we would be the only property from I-516 down to Jenkins High School that would have that wouldn't have some kind of a business for it. And I do think that it would, in the future, that I would hope that it would get something that would attract the kind of business that the property is suitable for, because I bought the property 38 years ago to put my real estate office there, and I was denied the to be able to put it there at the time. So I've had it in rental since that time, waiting for a time that it would get rezoned. And I've had terrible, terrible problems with trying to get it rented until Mrs. Walker rented it from me. And I don't want to have to try to rent it again on that corner. It's very difficult. So I would hope in the future it could get a higher business use that would make it more suitable for all the traffic that comes by there. I chose it because it is either the first or second highest traffic count in Savannah, and it's on a corridor of 204 and 516 or 16 that can never change. And I wanted my real estate company to be right in the middle of Savannah to go to any direction and serve all the areas. That's why I chose it. And I think that somebody else will choose it for that same reason. And hopefully in the future, we can get a better zoning for it. Thank you.
I was
going to
tell you 2 minutes before you leave, Ms. Everhart. Any questions of Ms. Everhart? Yes, Ms. Milton.
Does your property front Abercorn or does it
front Duran?
The front is on Abercorn, but it would be the only lot left on Duran because it's on the corner that you know would be just strictly residential.
I don't know how that works. You have an Abercorn address, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're dealing with Duran.
Any further questions of Ms. Everhart? I have a speaker card for Gladys Walker. If you would, please step forward, ma'am. You have 2 minutes. State your name for the record, please.
Gladys Walker. We have been at the location for almost 24 years, serving the minority, low-income individuals, giving them a decent, one of the highest rated personal care homes. And I don't wish to move them because many of them are in their near 100 and 100, and readjusting their lives would be extremely difficult.
Any questions of Ms. Walker? Ms. Milton?
I'm not clear on how this affects your property.
And that's a rental property there that we've been using for almost 24 years.
Yeah, you're saying you want to join the petition. That's what she
I just came to be with Ms. Libby so that I could back up what was there and how long we've been there with her.
But you're saying you want to join the petition, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm okay.
Thank you, Ms. Walker.
Sure.
What is before the board today is zoning map amendment for item number 8, 104 through 114 East Duran Avenue. The chair will entertain a motion.
I recommend that we approve staff recommendation.
It's been properly moved by Ms. Milton and second by Mr. Coles. Any discussion?
The only discussion that I would have is to let you know that you're not prohibited from also rezoning. We're just addressing what is before us today. So you can apply in for the rezoning. And as far as taxes go, that's beyond our purview, but I can't imagine it would really affect it that much. It's just a rezoning classification.
Any further discussion? Okay. We have a proper motion on the table. Any unreadiness? All in favor? All opposed, motion carries. Item 10, presentation, Mobility 2045.
Thank you for your time today. Just 1 second.
Ross, you need some help?
Yeah.
Marcus or myself?
I just need to open my attachment. Sorry. I don't see him.
Paying attention. You are this one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. This one, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
I'll just open both of these.
All right, sorry about that. I don't usually present this board, so get my presentation up, okay. So at your last meeting, you offered to have me come back to talk about Mobility 2045, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. I just have a really quick presentation. All of you at the dais have a copy of the executive summary and of the slides I'm just gonna quickly go over today. So just a real quick introduction of what the core MPO is. That is another, we are housed and part of MPC. And we are made up, our boundaries are a little different. We're made up of all the jurisdictions in Chatham County, as well as Richmond Hill and a little portion of Effingham County. And we also have some committees that we work with. We have a special needs committee on accessible transportation that discuss those issues. We have a citizens advisory committee, a technical committee, as well as a committee that focuses on freight and economic development. So all of those folks provide their input and work in thoughts into what we're doing today. So as you can see, the list of members that we work with, as well as CAT and Georgia Department of Transportation, and the airports as well are big partners. So the Metropolitan Transportation Plan that that we just updated, just a real quick overview of what that is. It's a document that is updated every 5 years. It is a long-range transportation plan that covers 20-plus years. This one is a little over 25 years in nature. It focuses on multimodal transportation in the region, and it is a guide on how to distribute the federal transportation dollars within our region. We align with the statewide transportation plan, and the plan is fiscally constrained. So we are looking into estimating what kind of revenues we think we're gonna get over the next 25 years, and then we prioritize our projects and look at what we think we can afford over those years. So the process took about 2 years to do this. We started out with analyzing our existing conditions. We then looked into forecasting what we anticipated to look our transportation network to look like in 2045, based on socioeconomic data, population changes, things like that. And we had a vision and goal exercise. We really did a lot of public outreach with that. You may have participated in the survey we did almost a year ago now. And then analyzing all the information we put together, we came up with a recommended list of projects and a recommended plan, which was adopted back in August. Our goals, just really quickly, we had 6 goals that were that we wanted to focus on in the types of projects we selected: safety and security, system performance, intergovernmental coordination, state of good repair or maintenance, preservation, those types of work, that type of thing, access, mobility, and connectivity, and then environment and quality of life. And all of those were things that our surveys indicated that were really important to the residents in the area. So the project list in the executive summary you have, if you flip to the last couple of pages, there is a list of all the projects that are included in the financially constrained plan. Those projects didn't just come out of thin air. You're very familiar with many of them probably. A lot of them have already been going on and are in the works. So to do our project selection process, we took all the projects that were, again, already in the previous plan, moved them forward into the 2045. We also looked at new projects because there was some additional funds that we would have over this time period. And to identify those new projects, we had we did some technical exercises to analyze which projects would be most in need. We also did a prioritization exercise with our committee to help show which projects kind of rise to the top based on our goals and what some of the other area important things are in the region. This map, I'm just going to flash it really quick. There's a map in your packet that shows what projects are in the plan again. Not everything is mapped, though. You're going to see that there's only 2 non-motorized projects on the map, and the transit stuff projects are not on the map. So I'm just going to briefly talk about how we determine what kind of projects would be using those funding. We did policy set-asides anticipating that there would be maintenance, non-motorized operations projects, and transit improvements, and put based on historical use of that money, anticipated what we think will be in the future plan. So there's for maintenance, $232 million set aside, non-motorized, $12 million. operations, 140, and then transit improvements and bus replacement. This is coming out of the federal highway dollars. There would be about $18.2 million. Now, transit also receives funds from FTA, and this is another anticipated revenue source of about $21 million. And we just took what their priority list was that they would been working with their SPLOST and what their projects are. So there's a list there of some of the projects, including like ferry boat construction, facility construction and maintenance, and their vehicle infrastructure, like in, incorporating more electric vehicles, things like that, that you might be familiar with already. Just a real quick summary of how the dollars are anticipated to be spent over the next 25 years. There's $1.8 billion that we'll see that we're anticipating coming into the region. Highway projects, which would include widening interchanges and new roadway, would take up about $1.1 billion. Preservation, maintenance, and operation projects. I also included bridges in that because we are doing quite a few bridge replacements based on their maintenance needs and sufficiency ratings. And there's about $553 million set aside for, or anticipated for that. And then non-highway was $262 million of this pie chart, and that's transit projects as well as non-motorized projects. So they're up in the orange slice here. So that was it, a two-year project in 4 minutes or so. If you have any questions.
Mr. Wildwood?
The list of projects in the executive summary. Of course, it's all map IDs. Does the map IDs correlate to priority?
No, those are not related to, they're not ranked in that manner.
And are all of these on this list moving forward, or are they just being considered as, boy, that'd be great? Or?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of both of that. So some of those projects are moving forward and already have funding dollars in the programming phase of the work we do. And then some of the other projects that, to get federal dollars, you must be in this plan. So it is the first step. So some of those projects that do not actually have dollars associated with them yet are now identified in the plan. So that's just identifying the priority and need in this region for those projects.
Where would we get a status of actual funding allocated, where we are on each project?
Yeah, we can get that to you. We have our transportation improvement program, which shows...
It's not available online. Or
it is, it is. And we have another map. And okay. We can show you what dollars are already programmed into what projects for that. And I can get that to you. On,
is that in the core MPO section of the MPC
Yeah,
website?
It would be under the TIP or transportation improvement program, TIP.
I just wanted to mention, we have a web-based TIP or transportation improvement program. That's accessible through the MPC website. If you go to the core MPO homepage, to the TIP, it's kept up to date continuously. Like, it's available on your cell phone or your desktop.
Okay. The reason I ask that is I'm constantly asked, where are we with the Pooler interchange? Where are we with the widening 516? Where are we with, the 516 interchange? And it's just... It'd be nice to be able to give an answer that's factual rather than, well, call you.
Please do.
Feel free to call any of us at any time. Now, we will have at the MPO meeting later in October on last Wednesday before Halloween, we will have status updates on the I-16 widening, which includes the I-95 I-16 widening with the consultants. We will also be wrapping up our two major interchange studies, which includes the airport interchange on 95. Also, a study that we're partnering with Chatham County on, which is the interchange at Little Neck Road and I-16, which is terminus of Jimmy Dulwich Parkway. So a lot of that's going to be presented at that meeting. We'll also have a comprehensive project status list that I just got, I believe, yesterday, but I'll be happy to forward that.
Mark, if you would, you might want to forward... Thank you. The dates for the MPO meeting, because much of this was covered at our past MPO meeting. I have Mr. Welch with a question, followed by Ms. Milton.
I'm just curious, the highway to Tybee,
And they're somewhere.
Yes. It is there. It is actually in the first in the first 10-year time phase that we're looking at, I think 7%.
The project itself is still in the environmental phase.
Right.
And the we had a project status call for, like, not just that project, but the laundry list of GDOT projects in the area earlier this week, a teleconference. But they're not certain at this point when the environmental issues are going to be resolved with the alignment for that project. And I think that's the linchpin on the west end of the project.
Number 14.
Yeah. Yes, Ms. Milton.
Is the Duren project approved already?
The Duren project.
That 516 flat?
No, it's still an environmental as well. And they're experiencing some delays with that as well.
That's been like about 5 years, right? It's been an environmental.
Federal process. It's takes a long time. And, you know, of course, we coordinate, but once the project is handed over to implementation, the MPO is no longer in the lead. We're in the lead in the planning phase, so we try to keep track of all of that because we have to keep our plans and programs up to date. So.
Yes, Ms. Jarrett.
I have questions about the 40417 bridge replacement. We're replacing the new bridge or the old bridge?
US 70 is a new bridge to make it four lanes.
Okay. Is this in conjunction with
the South Carolina project to widen US 17?
Are we paying the lion's share or is South Carolina?
No.
Okay.
We're playing the match, I believe.
Make sure.
The local match. Yeah.
Right.
It's the opposite. They did it when we did ours. They paid just the match.
I think they didn't have any money when we did ours, so it's why it's wound up the way it is.
As you'll see, the dollar amounts associated with those projects are pretty small.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Rossi.
Thank you for your time.
Item number 11, Mr. Welch. Other business? Item 10. Sorry.
Yeah, the Finance Committee met on September 24th at 11 a.m., and I want my fellow commissioners to know that any of you are always invited, as Mr. Manigo asked to be there, and he was there as well and attended. We did a review of the 2019 budget and expenditures. We discussed our office remodeling cost and for look around what you have in front of you with this audio system is phenomenal. Things that we need to upgrade in our building that we move forward and allow the budget to be expanded a little bit to request to have more money to get upgrades that we do need. And needs a serious facelift. And we did an increase in contract approval for authority of the executive director and the chairman, and that was increased to $30,000. And that was the case of our meeting, and everything's moving forward. Any questions? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, we talked about the audit as well. I apologize. And discuss that, and that's moving very well. Our executive director has done a great job getting an audit company to come in and doing a very, very thorough job, and we should all be satisfied with that as well.
Any questions of Mr. Welch? I do believe this is a non-action item in terms of voting, but a mere report. There being nothing else, Chairman, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I thought I would hand out the office reconstruction schedule. A number of you have asked what that process is going to be, and we finally got with the city and got the schedule locked down. So I've got that to hand out to you. The final renovation will be complete, by February 14th. So after that, we'll be having opening and inviting the public to come and look at the improved space. Mm-hmm. But the meeting space will be done by supposedly December the 20th.
And we are taking measures on this new renovation for security matters as well, mm-hmm. To be brought into the new design.
There being nothing further, Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Stand adjourned.